Welcome to the Beechworth Historic Precinct. If you haven't already, please take a copy of the tour map and note the locations to begin each new track. Look out for the signs at each location to prompt you along the way. Let's make our way around the back of the town hall and through to the gardens. The town you see today appeared in a flash. European settlers transformed the high country within a generation of the first explorers arriving. Squatters remade the landscape, but it was the lure of gold that brought a tidal wave of change. Within months, this ancient land was turned upside down by miners in pursuit of riches. The irresistible promise of unimaginable wealth created its own unstoppable dynamics. Fortunes were made and grand buildings erected. This historic precinct is part of the legacy from those days. Partly by accident and partly by design, Beechworth is now one of the best preserved gold rush towns, not just in Australia, but anywhere in the world. The Burke Museum and this garden embody some of the high hopes and high ideals of the early townspeople. They craved order, education, and progress. They hoped for a thriving town with a flourishing populace. The museum holds important items that tell those stories through objects and exhibitions. Across from the park, there's another set of stories. The jail that operated until 2004 has held some of Australia's most notorious criminals, including members of the Kelly Gang and Ned Kelly himself. But we also need to remember what's missing from this scene. Not far from here, there's compelling evidence that illustrates the depth of Indigenous connection to the continent. About 15 kilometres north at Mount Pilot, in the Adonba Cultural Site, there's a rock art painting of a thylacine, or Tasmanian tiger. Most of us know it as the Tasmanian tiger because when Europeans arrived in Australia, that was the only place the thylacine still inhabited. It once roamed right across Australia and into New Guinea. Our best guess is that it went extinct on the mainland about 3,000 years ago, around the same time as the last pyramids were built in Egypt. So, the rock art is at least that old, and probably much older. Back to a time in deep history when the thylacine was still a common sight on the mainland. In the summer months, Indigenous communities would climb the Alps for cooler weather and the annual Bogong moth gathering, where abundant food meant large groups could come together, perform ceremonies, exchange goods, and meet potential partners. When local populations came down from the Alps in the autumn months, some called the land around Beechworth home. They knew it as Barmutha, which means place of many waterfalls. The old granite buildings around Beechworth evoke a sense of our history, but that history is merely a recent chapter in Australia's ancient story. David Reed was an early settler in the region and quickly amassed a land holding of more than 100,000 acres, stretching from Wangaratta to Yakandanda. He was the son of a military surgeon and veteran of the Battle of Waterloo. In the early 1800s, Governor Macquarie enticed David Reed's father to stay in New South Wales by granting him a large parcel of land. David Reed took advantage of his fortunate position in the colony as the son of a large landholder and journeyed south over the Murray, following the route of the explorers Hume and Hovell. Compared to some of the dry brown land he'd passed on his journey south, the high country must have seemed like Eden. The extensive grasslands and high rainfall made this region ideal for both pasture and cropping. The first Europeans who crossed the Murray remarked with surprise about the vast and abundant grasslands they encountered. There's repeated references in their journals to grass up to our waists and grass as high as our heads. They were oblivious to what we know now. Indigenous communities actively managed the landscape with fire, reducing the risk of wildfires by eliminating forest undergrowth and creating spacious open fields that aided hunting practices and movement through the landscape. Far from being in a state of nature, a common misconception of the time, First Nations managed a sophisticated equilibrium. They acted as custodians and engineered the environment to suit themselves while keeping a balance with the entire ecosystem. The established grasslands were a bonanza for squatters like Reed, and within a decade, they'd built up significant grazing operations in the area. But the clash of two cultures with little understanding of each other was brutal and tragic. As settlers moved in with a mindset of improving the land by making it more productive, they gave little consideration to what they were destroying. Operating at the edge of legality, on the frontier of the colony, they were a law unto themselves and felt they had the right to remove and replace the Indigenous population. First Nations fiercely resisted the takeover, but the reprisals were overwhelming. Settlement amounted to violent displacement for the original inhabitants, and much of their rich culture was lost. In just over a decade, the high country had been transformed. Soon after, squatters received property rights to the land as colonisation took hold. But that was only part one of the upheaval. Let's make our way through the gardens and towards the Gold Office and Sub-Treasury on the opposite side of Ford Street as we start to talk about gold. Early in 1852, not long after gold was discovered in Victoria, two veterans of the California Gold Rush approached David Reed and asked permission to look for gold on his property at Spring Creek. They found gold about a kilometre down the road, past the centre of town, near Newtown Bridge. A viable prospecting site could yield about 100 grams of gold per day, roughly a teaspoon worth of the precious metal. Within a couple of weeks, they found more than 6 kilograms of gold, hundreds of thousands of dollars worth in today's money. Word spread quickly. Miners from around the world descended on Beechworth. 600 licenses were issued by the end of 1852. The discovery of gold meant that rapid changes in the high country had only just begun.